Good afternoon and welcome to Poethood Fatherhood, Episode 3. I'm your host, Christopher Locke. Today is Monday, April 6th, 2020, and I'm coming to you from the last mountain on the left, somewhere in the Adirondacks. This week, I'm featuring novelist and poet David Allen Cates. I first met David in Mexico several years ago when the writer Tony Cohen set us up on a blind date, if you will. The three of us were in the city of Guanajuato, all pursuing different writing projects with our respective families when Tony suggested I should meet up with David. "Well, what's he like?" I asked. "Tall," Tony said. But after we met for some food and a drink at a local bar, I came to understand that David was much more than the sum of his height. He was kind, generous, a loving husband and father, and one hell of a writer. His lines were unapologetically swoon-worthy, rapturous, and David did nothing to hide the deep love he has for this complicated world. My kind of guy. I'll be reading an essay and a poem by David today. The essay is entitled Kitchen Table. I haven't written much about domestic life. My novels and stories and poems have been, for some mysterious reason, about people a long way from home. People wandering, straying, trying to keep their balance on that thin line between hope and despair. So my work, I suppose, has been about the struggle to feel at home, to come home. And like all ambitious writers, I often question who I think I am, and why I believe I can do what I'm trying to do. And I struggle with dissatisfaction and disappointment with the results. This is just the way it feels to be an artist, just as having a sore back is the way it feels to carry heavy sacks of rice. But every day, when I come up from my basement office to make meals for my children, I'd look at their faces and take heart. They were eager for each day and for their lives to come. I remember a particularly dark time in my writing life when I decided that no matter my particular mood, I would never give my children cause to remember me as a disappointed old man. I decided that in order to teach them to be brave, to do their work in good faith, and to find joy in the simple things, I had to be brave to do my work in good faith, and to find joy in simple things. So even after months of working on a novel that felt unworkable, or a short story or poem that was causing me to reach far beyond my grasp, walking upstairs every day to make meals for my children put me on solid ground again. This, I'd think, making soup or slicing sandwiches, giving food to my three daughters at the kitchen table. This is a good thing. This poem by David Allen Cates is titled, "And My Country Loved Me." The horses, my God, how they could have crushed our feet and bit our hands, but only lipped sugar from our palms and gaped to show tremendous tongues. And the cats, too, how they walked rail fences, pausing to sit on posts, hunting mice in grass or snow. And sometimes it seemed the horses regarded the cats, and the cats regarded the horses as I regarded them. Beautiful in blizzards or rain, or heavy green, sickening heat of July, or cool morning August fog, shadows and hooves I could feel through my mattress at night, eyes rolling and steam rising from wet backs solid as the smell of the tack that touched them, hanging in a darkened room. In boy dreams, I'm their equal still, their flesh mine. Pregnant black kitty again leaps from her box into my bed and scratches my leg as she pushes out the first of four kittens. Or old Bob with the broad back, who quiets as I climb on and walks me to the pond where he twitches flies and waits while I swim and fill my stringer with bass, waits like a gray uncle to take me home again. That was David Allen Cates. His poem, And My Country Loved Me, first appeared in High Desert Journal and appears here with permission from the author. David Allen Cates is the author of five novels, most recently Tom Connor's Gift, and a chapbook of poetry, The Mysterious Location of Kyrgyzstan. He's published dozens of short stories and poems in magazines such as The Sun, The New England Review, and Slice, and his nonfiction has appeared in, among others, The New York Times and Outside Magazine. For 18 years, he was the executive director of Missoula Medical Aid, an organization that sends groups of medical professionals to provide public health and surgical services in Honduras. He and his wife, Rosalie, live in Missoula, Montana, where they raised three daughters. Well, that's it for this edition of Poethood Fatherhood. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you're all doing well, staying safe, and finding moments of joy between these long days of waiting. So until next week, take care.